Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need to utter but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They don't need words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we'll send something else. We want all. Telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
Ain't no nothing now. We're you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going.
Here we go. It's Wednesday night, and we're back with the man himself, Mr. Minister Jaquan Diaz, Mr. Nathan Evans, and we're talking about reentry talk with Jaquan Diaz and Nathaniel Evans. Let's give him a nice hand. Welcome into their show.
Good afternoon.
Are you all there, Mr. Evan?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Mr. James Diaz?
Yes, we are here. Well and good, Brother Jakim Diaz and Nathaniel Evans. We are here live and back with you guys and excited.
That's right.
Mute their background. Pretty loud. Okay, so we're in good spirits, and I'm happy to be back with you, Father and Reverend. How are you?
Well, finding yourself, and it is so good to have you back. You are a wanted man by America. Everybody's looking, where's Daquan? Where's Daquan? You know, so it's so good to have you back. And Brother Nathaniel, it's so great to have him on as well. Two great men together, powerful.
Yes, so I wanted to give a brief background of me and Nathaniel's relationship. So me and his relationship actually begins in civil work when I was alongside an organization named Just Leadership United States for America. And the founder was Glenn Martin, and he was somebody that we both actually looked up to at a point in time. And in a lot of ways, I still do look up to the man in a lot of ways, and his work and what he has done to found what and coined the term closed Rikers Island. And he was very adamant about it, gave a date to when Rikers would be closed, and actually got the talk in the governor's mouth. And, it was a very inspiring movement. And during this time of this movement and my transition as an individual and as an individual man, me and Nathaniel came into a lot of self-realization and a lot of points about the not-for-profit sector, among other things. And with our life lessons that we learned, we actually was able to put our minds together to come on this show today. So we also, he was an adamant supporter while I was incarcerated, while the Reverend was working on getting me bailed out. He was just as adamant and reaching out to organizations and trying to get my fundraiser sponsored. And, so I'm in his debt in a lot of ways because his energy that he put out definitely kept me going in darker times. So without further ado, I'll allow Nathaniel to explain his take and his come on to the show.
Hello. How y'all doing? Great to be here. Happy to meet everybody on this platform and looking forward to the others that we're going to meet. This is a great opportunity for us to actually understand what work we actually doing in the communities as leaders, as advocates, as change agents, what are the foundations that we actually want to set before we leave this plane, or do we want these things to remain the same just by accumulating money and accumulating gifts from different parties? So me being on these different platforms, working in nonprofit organizations, have given me a different education as to why I may link myself to the nonprofit, why I may link myself to different organizations and different movements, and what would be the ultimate outcome for our people as a whole in dealing with these movements?
All right, I'm just to hear you good because your background is very loud.
Oh,
and,
I got to go somewhere else.
I'm recording, so I'm going to have to X that part out. I can't really hear you.
I don't know.
But I wanted to record start editing for our YouTube.
Okay.
It's going to air on YouTube. Everybody's going to get the link to post on their social medias, among other things, so after I edit the videos. All right, so while he's getting that set in order, we had picked up several topics to actually talk about today, and since we're not going to be able to reach out to the audience that we want to because we want to do a lot of reach out during the week and to lead up to have some guests among other people to know that we're back on the air, we wanted to use this opportunity like a think tank. We're going to we have five topics that we wanted to delve into, and anybody who is available, we would like to open the airs for question and answers or feedback. So right now we're going to basically delve into our five topics, and Brother Nathaniel will read them off, and we'll delve into each topic, try to give some time, try to stretch it out between 30 to 45 minutes to get to the talk.
Nathaniel,
you hear me?
Yeah, it's just we. Okay. It's just your back.
Oh, hold on. One second. You getting better now?
Yeah, if you have to stay muted for the show, I'll take care of it. If that's the case.
Okay.
I don't want the other sounds to come up in the recording. That's twice I gotta stop the recording.
Okay.
All right, I'm going back on. Okay, so we're gonna go over the five topics. Can you hold on, give me 1 second, actually. Our topics at hand. Okay, so tonight's show is called Reentry Talks with Jakeem Diaz and Nathaniel Evans. All right, and the first topic we wanted to discuss actually was the core meaning behind why organizations are founded. All right, so core meanings behind why things are done in the first place. As we know, the word not-for-profit organization is not a new word. This is not something we just hear about. But why are not-for-profit organizations founded in the first place? And we wanted to talk about this because coming from the not-for-profit sector, you know, we're individuals who are aspiring for change and a better world, okay? And with that being said, we want to see this come about in fruition. Give me 1 second. 1 second. Yeah. So we want to see this come about in fruition and actually see what's the end results of organizations and new organizations being founded to what end. So the point in matter that we want to keep on your mind is, let's think of not light versus darkness or good versus evil, but intentions. What is the intention behind creating an organization? So two things me and Brother Nathaniel was talking about was, do people found an organization with the intention of working itself out of existence? And when we say that is, there's a problem, let's say a disease or HIV. All the organizations out there that are not-for-profit organizations geared around HIV and AIDS, is the money that they're accumulating towards prevention? Is it towards destroying the disease as a whole? Is it towards funding the research that's necessary to curing HIV and AIDS as a whole, or economic engine, and are actually thriving and subsisting off the fact that AIDS and HIV exist? So what we came to conclusion is that we need to start putting organizations under a microscopic eye, and doing so would allow us to understand their core meaning and values to try to, like, build a coalition. Like, not-for-profit organizations must look at themselves as a coalition in a single fight. And that's what I would like us to do if your core meaning is really holistic and good. If what you are founding on is truly to wean out and destroy a problem and no longer need to exist because the problem is no longer there, then how do we connect more with these organizations, and how can we create a platform to make them comfortable to connect on these on the same level, like almost like a think tank? Leaders could get together and come together and put their minds together, and how do we get people more into the call of action? So, for instance, me and the brother Nathaniel Evans, we are actually directly impacted by this problem. So not only have we grown up in impoverished neighborhoods or have families that have been affected by the criminal justice system, we have also been directly involved in the criminal justice system, me being ex-incarcerated, also working in reentry and working around people in this problem. And we want to know, how do we, the resources, to build a base, a building, a platform. It could be home base, like, but we need a platform to start raising the funds to make this a reality. Because it looks like during my whole history of working in organizations, it's like they want me to save my money up to do it. But I keep running across millionaires and keep running across people who say they have the power to change the problem, and I don't get the help to change the problem. So a biggest fear that I have is that my ideas and my good is being trodden underfoot, and that people are manipulating. They could be stealing concepts and twisting them and making something else. So how do you preach the word in a good fight, especially in times like this, when they are wolf in sheep clothing? And that's the biggest core behind what I do. I'm very spiritual. I'm for universal knowledge, far as understanding there's one sole creator of the universe, and that all of our faiths need to coincide as one, and that the creator left us blueprints. He left us answers to cipher between right and wrong. And I believe he's given us the spiritual eye to look at certain things to say, is this right? Is this wrong? And can we work together towards a greater good? And what does that look like? So I don't expect there to be a definite answer to it. It's just something to put in our heads, far as those who are in assembly now, and something that we can pursue together. Has anybody had any feedback? If you have any feedback, Nathaniel, now's your time.
Yeah, I do. So one thing I've learned when I'm working in a nonprofit organization is that you come to the point where there's no tools and resources in the structure. So, you know, you interview for the position, you go into the position thinking that it's holistic, that it has all the tools in place so you can move forward. And when you go in there, there's no tools and no resources for the population that you're serving, which says what? That that nonprofit in particular is not there to change the issues in the community because they don't have the tools and resources to do so, but they have the tools and resources to pay their staff and to continue with the nonprofit without actually doing what it's supposed to do within the community, which means that it's taking up real estate, it's also bringing another economical burden into our communities, and it's not creating leadership amongst our leaders that's coming to the nonprofit as it's supposed to. It's actually taking the resources and the energy of the leaders, using it for their own organization, and then start the leaders back out without their leadership. So I've actually been seeing that the nonprofits have actually been coming against the leadership within the communities and taking away the economic resources and not doing a purpose in our communities but generating money in our communities.
Right. Yeah, so from firsthand experience, you've been also involved in organizations that you felt like they didn't do the work behind the message.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
I've worked for organizations that – yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I work for organizations that will – they say they cater to people that come out of prison. But when people come out of prison, they don't have any clothes. They don't have no gift cards. They don't have no metro cards. They have no resources or tools to ensure that recidivism will not take place, to ensure that this individual will actually be able to sustain within society. You know, not hurt other people, you know, and learn according to rehabilitation that the Department of Corrections created for, that this actually takes place for the person. But without the tools and resources, many of us fall through the cracks and we wind up back into the systems, or even more detrimental things happen to us because the tools and resources that we're coming to, that the organizations are actually professing while we're incarcerated don't have when we are released.
Very true.
I would like to say that I commend you gentlemen, Jaquan and Nathaniel, on this type of conversation. Reentry, I'm 71 years old, and reentry has been a discussion since I was a kid in our communities of color, Hispanic community, Black community. One of the major issues we always had back when I was growing up is that, like Nathaniel said, people come out, they don't have the necessary resources to get themselves together, to get a job, to get reorganized with their families, their wife and children. And most of the time, 99.9% of the time, they end up committing a crime. And it's a crime of survival. It's a crime to take care of their families and whatnot. And so, you know, this community of people coming out of incarceration after X amount of years being institutionalized, and as a retired psychologist, I understand what it is when somebody's psychologically institutionalized. Environments can be institutional. You can stay in your home, and your parents could teach you, home teach you, right? And they could teach you certain things that might not be, it might be antisocial or whatever, or dysfunctional. And you, that's institutionalization, because you're not communicating with the society. You're not functioning in your full capacity. So this is such a tremendous show, and it's really tremendously needed. It's extremely needed. The discussion is needed, and in the community, we need to talk about reentry, people coming out, and what can we do together as a community? What can I do as an AQ citizen? You dig what I'm saying? How can I participate? We all have family members, children, nieces, nephews, cousins, you know, husband, wives, whatever, coming out from reentry, and how do we deal with it? So I think this is a serious subject matter. And you do have a packed house, so if you want to bring on some of the listeners and have them also contribute, we can do that as well.
Okay, so we're going to about to open up to question and answers, questions, so please hold your questions for now. Something that you just said that I wanted to comment behind is amazing, about the fact of how long reentry talk has been going on. And the brother Nathaniel explained that reentry is not just reentry in the sense of being incarcerated, you know, from jail back to society, but living in society as a whole, there needs to be reentry talks, because there's a domino or a butterfly effect that's in effect. Just living in the environment puts you at a certain edge. Just living, you know, scraping and surviving to get to the next step does certain things in your makeup. Now, the first topic is with the core of these organizations. We know that without education, it cannot reciprocate through action. If somebody is not educated, how can they act on it? So if the base, the children, the beginning is broken, the whole educational system is trash. Sorry to say it like that. It is garbage. Those books are garbage. The history and its pollution is garbage. The way they teaching individual kids to all learn the same is garbage. The fact that they still following a World War II system, kids sitting in a classroom listening to a bell, 8 classes a day, out of line. That was not created by us. So the fact that organizations are trying to change behavior without launching a whole strike against the core, the education, is beyond me. It's almost as at the beginning of it, someone is working with someone. You understand that somebody, somewhere down the line, an organization leader is either purposely avoiding that fight, or is he has his hand in the cookie jar. Like, that's where I'm at with it, because in my limited time on this planet Earth, I could see how broken the educational system is. And when my kid is going to go to school soon, he's 3 years old, I'm afraid for him. I already agreed to homeschool him, because what am I sending him into what? one of my punished kids, you have parents scrutinizing their kids for their lack of ability to pay attention. I'm going to give you a personal story. My big brother, I have an older brother named Jonathan, and he had a difficulty with his kids as far as with them wanting to learn in school. So I went over there to personally sit with one of my nieces named Emily, and she's very ambitious. She takes part of my nature. A lot of them, I could see characteristics in his kids and myself and in himself. So I sat my brother down. I said, when we went to school, how many times did you watch me rebel against the teachers? He said, all the time I had to go in there and, you know, try to talk to you. I said, and what was my biggest rebellion? He said, their incapability of teaching you. I said, what did you see me do when I went home? He said, half the time you was researching the bullshit they was feeding you. And I said, and then what did it do to me? You felt lied to. And then what did I do to them? You didn't listen. So if you know this, and if you know that they are pumping your children with trash, and they're teaching your kid, that kid has to learn like that kid. And that kid should learn like that kid. And all y'all supposed to learn from the same books and the same way. That's not human. Humans do not learn the same way. Humans do not work and interact in the same environments the same way. So the fact that there are schools that diagnose how each kid learns and puts them in their proper field of expertise so that they can foster that growth, it goes to understand why she responded to me like this. She said, well, cousin, uncle, I wish they taught me things that I can actually apply. Like the things that I can't relate to nothing they teaching me, and it's like I don't know how to apply what they teaching me. Well, how am I going to use this in the real world? How am I going to learn how to save my money? Or when it's time for me to build something, what am I supposed to do? So the core aspects of money management, household thing, all the farming and the agriculture, the real aspects and core of development as far as building a community, funny how the educational system strategically leaves it out. Every tool that we need to actually build something is just not in the curriculum. Is that by accident or is that by design? And if it's by design, what are we doing? Why are we putting such a prejudice on our children to survive in a school? It's not even being educating them. It's like you sending your kids to school to survive. They're going to school to try to live through it, not educate themselves. And that's just broken. And that is what I mean by if reentry talk has been going on for this long, and that's only one aspect of it, just the educational system. We didn't get into the food. We didn't get into the environment. We didn't get into how they're making this food that's poisoning us. We're not going to delve into that. Right now, the educational source. Why is education not being pushed, and why is nobody pushing to cipher the lies from the truth and bring education back to its core? That is where I'm at with it, and I'm not going to say nobody because I've been on this show with the brother Benyamin, and he spoke on these topics about re-educating ourselves, etc. I'm just talking about how can organizations that feel the same way, how can we use our resources to work together as a whole? And that's the main topic of our discussion today. How to apply this and who's doing the work and how do we spot who's doing the work and how do we start chipping away at this problem? And I feel the core is about what you ingest, it's about what you eat, it's about your mind, what you watch and what you take from what you watch, and making it into a holistic lifestyle, like a communal thing, that what we put out into the universe comes back. We must do good to reciprocate good. And how do we do that as a whole? So it's open to feedback, Brother Nathaniel, if you want to say something.
Yeah, definitely. So you made a great point as far as we have to wait till we get to a certain age, maybe like when we go to college or something like that, to actually start getting the real fundamentals of what this post-education system is supposed to be about. We start learning about stocks, bonds, you know, we start learning about family development, actually how to rebuild our communities. You know, when I went to college, I learned about my community in ways that I didn't even know, because that information wasn't accessible to me when I was in school. So I had to learn these things all over again, or basically be retaught the things that I already supposed to know what to do, how to navigate. Right now it's a big thing about finances. Who learned finances while we were in the first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade? Who learned finances? No one. We learn to forget finances when we get to 20, 30, 40 years old, and a lot of time, you know, we're playing catch-up. So we have to be aware of what systems they have in place for us and why they have them in place, why we take so long to learn the essential things we need to learn in our communities. Why do we have to leave our communities, learn something, and then come back to take care of our communities? Why we can't take care of our communities as we're growing up as a, you know, as a youth in our communities? Why we don't understand the principles that we need to protect ourselves and, you know, make sure that we can grow without foreign strangers, without different inputs that has nothing to do with our foundation.
You want
right.
to take questions now?
Yeah, you can open up the questions now.
Okay, we're going to open up mic 602-332. Your mic is open.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I love the commentary. I have a question. I got a great question. How can we learn if we don't ever go through it? I'm asking you, how can we learn if we never go through it?
So that's like a metaphysical question. So basically that question is two-folded. Some things we can learn by being taught, and some things we can learn as we go through it. When we talk about re-education, so let's say we're talking about, let's say talk about real estate, and school is not teaching us about real estate. So we have to go through school and learn about Christopher Columbus and Abraham Lincoln and all these other weird things that they're actually teaching us. And then when we get older, 30 and 40, now we're talking about, we think about real estate.
Right.
So we behind the game. You could actually have real estate at 14 years old, at 15 years old, if it's taught properly. My grandfather had buildings when I was growing up. He had real estate properties. He also had a welding company and a plumber company. He would not incorporate me in any of those businesses. I couldn't get into the properties he had or the business that he had. But he said he was my grandfather, right? And I had to learn these things all over again. Well, my grandfather already had these things in place, and he did not share these things with me.
Amen. Good job.
Yeah, my take on that about how can we learn without going through it, I look at it as Isaac Newton said this. Isaac Newton said that I cannot accomplish anything except off the shoulders of the giants that I stand on. And he based Amen. That answer off all of his intensive research of those who came before him and how they have to study all the sciences and notes of all those who came before them. And through experiences, like, we need to combine our strengths. If youths have the energy, then the elders have the they have the experience.
It's not funny, but you're right. I have the energy. I got the whole winning team with me, and I got 300 soldiers behind me. They ride,
awesome.
And Red Ron Robinson is one of my overseers. So you on this platform holding down is priceless. I cannot tell you how much elated I am by you doing what you do. I understand why it's new said, but I'm telling you what Don Jr. saying before 2022. This is our year of finance, business, and positivity. So at the end of the day, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm going to listen to what Isaac Newton said, but I'm hearing you. Isaac Newton's dead. He's gone. Oh, breathe in the wind. You right here. You speaking to me. You give me life. I want that life to impart in my life so I can impart it from millions of life. I've been on over 10,000 radio shows just like this every day. When I get a text message from Dr. Ron Robinson, it's over. Boom. I bring people with me like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I like that.
No, I went to hear the youngest. He was preaching. I was listening. But I it's like fireside from the bones. I can't be mute when I hear a powerful, mighty man of God preaching the word live, direct, on internet, where it's going to be saved. And people from 10 years from now going to hear this show for the first time. I'm very elated. I'm moving out of the way. I'm sorry. Please excuse me, Dr. Ray Ron Robinson, but you know how I get down.
I know you got fire, brother, but you're right. Daquan got some fire, too. And I believe the brother saying, Daquan, that he feel your fire. He feel your fire.
Amen.
And when Pastor Don Jr., CEO, get fired up, he's fired up. You know, Pastor Don, sometimes, you know, us from the country, we have a different way of putting it. And people from the city got to get to learn our vernacular. But, yeah, brother, you're right on the money. Daquan is definitely got a lot of wisdom beyond his years. And Brother Nathaniel as well.
I need him on my team. I'm 20 years deep in this thing. When it comes to the radio thing, I invented the people, period. Hundreds of people, thousands of people. But what you saying with the love, the admiration, you trying to help somebody. I can only empower that by uplifting you and watching you grow. Because at the end of the day, when you grow, I grow too. That's
Amen.
All I got to say. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Amen. No. But when the Spirit moves us, and if you would have caught earlier shows that I did before, but we starting on a new basis with me and Nathaniel doing this, I always keep the core with the Spirit, though. The Spirit of God has to move through our actions, and I believe the Spirit of the Creator educates us as well, that when you move through the Spirit, it gives us spiritual insights and interpretation into events. Meaning,
yes.
I strongly believe that the answer cannot come except through a council and a body of people holistically putting their hearts in the hand of God and telling him, we know nothing. Unless you reveal and educate us and hold our hands through this process, it's not going to get done. And
yes.
That takes humbleness because what
Amen.
We were talking about earlier is people are holding too much to legacy, to name. If you're going to see my face do it, if I'm the one that everybody's pointing the finger at or listening to me talk on the pulpit. And what the devil does is he's good at manipulating that inner, I'm not going to say inner demon, but every man has an innate nature deep down inside that keeps him to the earth, to carnal desire. And what the devil does is he manipulates and twists that and to the point where the devil has turned two of the closest allies against each other. It's like, everybody's not listening to you no more, Jakim. Now everybody wants to hear Nathaniel talk. But right there, the goal's about to be met. Right there, y'all about to get the funding to create the greater good. And one of us sabotages the whole and says, well, forget having everything if they not see and they not giving me credit for it. They didn't see me do it. They not putting my name in the front or et cetera. These are the things that he manipulates and twists into making mankind to the point where you could have one organization on one side of the street and you have an organization on the other. One saying, well, I don't work with them because we're doing this. And they're saying, well, we don't work with them because we're doing this. Yet the entire neighborhood is crime infested, impoverished. Every other denomination owns a store but us, to the Arabs, to the Chinese, to everybody else owns a store. We own nothing. We own nothing. But you have people fight for a block corner and saying, this is my block. This is mine. He don't own a dime of real estate in the entire area. He's telling me that's his corner. And I pity him. And I feel for him because that's brainwashing.
Oh, God.
That's the devil's ability in his totality.
Wow.
He can trick a man to fight for a piece of concrete he don't own.
That doesn't belong. That's correct.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I look at it, and it's about, this is why the devil, while the God Almighty tells you beware or to be on watch of the devil as he roams, and he's telling you as a command to watch him because you will see how he works and how he manipulates the weak-minded and how he's puppeteering the very pillars of the world and manipulating it to what he wants. But the fact that the light is still shining through all this darkness is the way that we are able to even come on this show and have this type of talk in the first place. So he miscalculated, and that I had went over this story before of how he only looked at the physical of Adam. He could only see the physical of man, but could not see our innate spirit, our wholesomeness, our principles, our morals, because some of us, if not all of us on this call, if we're put into a compromising moment, whether somebody's watching us or not, we hold to principles. These separate people from other people and say, I'm not into that, brother. That's not what I do. Listen, ain't nobody around. That's just not me. Because you feel, forget who's watching me. It's a shot against my integrity. And that's a moral code that separates you from the animals, because we're divided from our animal base to our angelic base. The angels are purely spirit. Man is a combination of them both. We're like animal and angels combined to make man. And that spirit in us can overcome the carnal desires at times or balance them out. And that is what makes mankind the pinnacle creation, because you are a creation that holds on to principles and morals because of choice, not because of compulsion. You do it because that's what you choose to do, and it's because that's your calling. Why else are we sitting on this phone call when we're looking at the rest of the world? We're looking at the pain of the rest of the world, and we're having discussions on how to make it a better place. Why? We don't have to do none of that. We could just ignore the entire problem, sit there and chase a career that'll have us with a white picket fence and a wife at home and a kid, and just go about life till we die and retire at a good career after 25 years. But it just feels so unfulfilling, at least for myself, that's not the world I want to let my son grow up in. Or if I didn't do anything about it, it's like I feel defeated. I don't know if anybody else feels the same, but if I don't lift a finger to make the future a better place,
well,
you
got some heavy hitters on tonight, and you hitting some heavy points, man. You dropping some jewels and some food for thought. I'm going to bring on the man himself that created the Neo Nation, the conversations, the radio programming, the reparations program, 1 million acts of kindness in the United Snakes of America. I'm bringing the man himself, Dr. James W. Wimborne. Let's give him a nice hand. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Just wanted to call in and shout out and say nice show, good stuff. I've been listening in for a distance, and yeah, let's keep it going.
Amen. Let's get more.
Thank you so much.
Open to feedback. Brother Dr. Winthorn, he's been with me at the beginning of this rodeo, including my time incarcerated. And my mentors I hold in high esteem. If anybody wants to know about me, these are my role models. Like, my mentors are my role models, like a common young person looks at LeBron James or something. Like, I don't look at those guys at all, like LeBron James, or I don't get appealed by none of that. But, like, when it comes to people who are taken out of their life to try to see the world a better place, your reward is with God, and those are the people I watch. Like, I know the Creator is just, and he going, God willing, I hope we can have this conversation behind them pearly gates and also just look that much better and worth it in the end. I don't think he's going to ask how much you scored in your last game or how much bread you made in the NBA. I don't think that's going to really hold merit.
That's true. Yeah, I did want to say something that you said earlier in the call. I'm Samuel Evans again. You talked about real briefly about as far as the nonprofits are doing different things in the community, but they're right next door to each other. So they don't come together. And if you look at the nonprofit and you just resemble it as Walmart, you would see that they're actually doing the same thing that Walmart is doing. So Walmart has multiple partnerships within his branches, but they all basically friends and families. But they they only deal with separations. So the nonprofit, what it has did in our community, it has separated the harm. Instead of bringing the harm together, it has separated. It has worked on it individually instead of working on it collectively. And this is why the harm continues and the base in our communities, because they're not there to eradicate the harms. Because they were there to eradicate the harms, they would do it together as a collective whole instead of doing it as a separation. So this is the reason why the nonprofit, one will focus on drug abuse, another one will focus on domestic violence, another one focus on violence, is because they're separating the harm and they're putting in nice little boxes so they can continue to eat off of a substance that they're supposed to eradicate.
That's true. It's a monopoly in division. There is a huge monopoly in the fact that, like, I learned that from the man. Like, black versus white, that makes money. Like, war against drugs and all of that, division makes money. And it's like every group is taking a piece of the pie, and through division, it's like I make my end. And like you said, they partner with other organizations that stay in that union, and they don't leave that, you know. And then that for us to not have a union at all, like, where do we fall into that? It just leaves us pretty, like, undertrodden. But if there's no feedback or a question that anybody would like
you have some great people on tonight. You have the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges from Filter Unity and Meditation. Show comes on Saturday night, 7 to 9. Y'all know the number, people, 347-857-1311. Let's give Dr. Benjamin a nice hand.
Awesome. Yes, indeed, my brothers. I'm glad to see that you guys are up and about and trying to really get the word out. Because, when you really look at a lot of the things that are happening out here, it's not as strong as it was back in the day, in the 60s and things of that sort. But it's good that our folks are, starting to come around and trying to do certain things. But, there's so many different problems that are happening, unfortunately, in our community, because we do need to come together and see what we can do to really focus on these things and make some things happen. And it shouldn't be so much just a focus on, just the money itself, but it should also be on, accomplishing the success of what we're trying to do. Because once we actually do achieve some of the things that are really needed in our community, whether it's, you guys mentioned dealing with drugs and, violence and, things of that sort, those are some good things to, definitely be successful and accomplished by coming together and seeing what we could do to work on that. And the other thing is, that's something that's very important too, is, as was mentioned earlier, is utilizing the spiritual power of God that's there for us to tap into and see what we can do as well. And unfortunately, a lot of us don't even know that exists, because we don't really see too much of that happening, with a lot of our folks. But that's something that's really important too, to tap into our spiritual ability to bring about some positive change as well. Because once we start really using that, because what's the old saying, instead of calling it politics, call it politrics. Because a lot of it is a big joke, because sometimes when you get these politicians into place, that you voted for them and they said they were going to do X, Y, and Z, sometimes they only do X and they leave out the Y, Z, and everything else, So it can be pretty interesting to see things more from a spiritual and practical perspective than some kind of political perspective, even though that is something we got to deal with as well.
Yes.
Yeah, amen. I want to say I had shouted you out earlier, Brother Benjamin, and I had said that you had talked in depthly about the educational system and about re-education, and something about intuition is something that I wanted to talk about with you. And individuals, I believe, like you, and maybe myself, or maybe I got to humble myself in saying this, but the God, the Creator, gives you spiritual insight. And spiritual insight should be looked at as a science. Notice how the educational system alleviates that ability. But the ability to deduce a situation was given to King Solomon, peace to him. And this spirit of God that he is endowed on prophets or individuals he is choosing to inspire in a certain way should be trusted and evaluated. And I say this to say this. I went to a rally, or I was working for an organization that wanted me to knock on doors and pass out flyers concerning somebody's campaign. They paid us to campaign for them. And when I'm campaigning and knocking on these doors, giving out these flyers, I'm supposed to give them information concerning the politician that is running. I left this job after day one. Like, the job didn't turn out to me, didn't turn out well for reasons of its own, because of a mistake and error that I made. But in the end, it just wasn't for me, because off the first rally that I went to and the first time I heard someone speak out, like, what he was saying wouldn't register with my heart at all. Like, and the way that the masses of the people were just cheering him on and, yeah, I'm going to vote for you, and I'm just looking at it like, but nothing he is saying is affecting me. Like, nothing he is saying was inspiring me. Nothing he was saying made me feel nothing spiritually at all. And there's an ability that when, like, when somebody wholly or wholesomely is giving you something for your benefit and your growth, you feel it. It, like, receives you different. And to be honest, a lot of these politicians, they need to be looked at and put under that microscope. Like, they are not even, like, they're not even reprimanded for lying. Like, they can literally lie on their campaign and then called on their lies and stay in office. Like, it's no swore, you would think because you swore an oath or an allegiance to the people that you should be held under some kind of, you know, penalty for just selling a dream just to sit yourself into office. But, yeah, I'm just saying that there's a lot of those wolves in sheep clothing that Jesus, peace be to him, mentioned about, you know, be careful of those who come to you in sheep clothing, but underneath they are ravenous wolves. And this is what we're dealing with, far as even in the religious orders, that people are using religion, politics, among other things, to manipulate their game. And this is the devil's plot, because why would I be anywhere else if I can go and masquerade, as it says, or transfigure myself into an angel of light and just stay in the ranks and manipulate and the weak-minded as I go along? So that goes back to one of my biggest fears, that when supporting an organization, are you supporting something that is going to change and better the future, or are you supporting the next vehicle for destruction? Let's go into our next topic, and people could have their feedback and questions on the next topic. Okay, get one more topic in. There was five, but we're probably not going to cover them all. All right, well, we definitely covered
Ronald A. Robinson, and we'll bring him in.
Oh, yes, please.
718-350, your mic is open.
Praise the Lord. Brother DeMar, it is an honor to hear you again, and we miss
Amen.
You. And I don't have that much to say. You said it all regarding teaching our education. We were brought up in this country to do one thing, and that's to serve somebody else. After that, anything that we were supposed to do, we were taught to fail.
Correct.
It exists now. Okay. with all that's going on now, folks are getting bent out of shape because we are moving particularly. We are moving positively, you know, and so on. As much as they tried to put all these other people against us, hating us because who we are, you know, I see it is not working. The media may say something else. Okay, but when I listen to brothers like you and the people that I'm surrounded with, young brothers and sisters that I'm surrounded with that are positive, they're faithful and moving forward, I see us winning. And with all that we've been going through, I know it's only the Lord. I know it's only God.
Amen.
You know, that is behind his people and pushing us forward. We have to get out of the confusion. You know, too much media, too much news, too much everything, you know, and focus on the Lord, his creation, our children. Because I consider all the children mine anyway. You know? This is what we have to do. That we have to break that lock, you know, on around our heads and our hearts. You know, because we become hardened of heart to each other. You know, and we have to change that. You know, that's really all I have to say. And love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. So much. Amen. He's always someone that I can reach out to for advice, just like Reverend Ron Robinson. And he's always staying in spirit and helping me even through the rough times, just like Nathaniel. And, he's a support system that makes a community. And that's just something that we kind of have a community right here. But the next steps would be to have an active website and blog up and that I'm going to have launched by the next Wednesday. Already created a YouTube. Just got to do a little bit of editing, especially with this first video that I'm doing now and all that participating on the show. And right now I want to do a fundraiser for all the things necessary to stream because live streaming – is big right now, and being able to be on a platform where I can speak to people actively throughout the day, see their feedback and blog with them and figure out what they're doing and connect all the dots, hold meetings and et cetera. And, that'll help us get to like, what's first steps in effective action. So that's what we're going to start doing. We need all hands on deck, anybody who can support and get the word out once our banners and everything is up for all of our channels and stuff so they can look good while we're promoting what's being done. And what we're working on is the organization Reentry Talks, and I'm partnering with Nathaniel Evans, who is the founder of Reentry Talk, and hopefully I can be his COO of this organization. COO of this organization. Thank you. So I'm honored. And I'm going to go very hard for building this organization. And with that is with my voice, my appearance, and hard work. And this is a platform that I would like to do all the time because
Hello.
I feel like it's – yes.
Hello.
Oh, what? Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I didn't hear you.
No, I said and love. You said you're going to do all hard work, and I said and love.
Oh, yeah. Right. And with that said, we're going to we just, like I said, we need the all hands on deck to make this a reality. And we didn't get to go into every point, but the core would be coming together holistically as organizations and faith denominations towards rebuilding our neighborhoods. In rebuilding our neighborhoods, a mass re-education must take place. All information must be scrutinized and evaluated from the bottom back up. Everything needs to be looked at, and we need to be thinking about in the sense where if part of the archives had to be burned, what was going to be burned and left behind for a previous world, and what do we take with us for a new world? What do we keep, like, in building a new community? That's one. Then we wanted to go in depth about the food, all right, and why this is a reality. Because if you don't know, if you take the landmass of America and look at it as a percentage, take 100% of the land, 70% of that landmass is occupied by pigs, chickens, cows, soybeans, and corn that are considered in CAFOs, which is concentrated animal facility operations. The food that you're eating, from the chicken to the burgers to everything, has over 450 pesticides and antibodies in these animals. They are the source of diabetes, cancers, high blood pressure, among other things. The pharmaceutical world partners with these facilities. They partner with them. Why? Because the animal products and these corn and soy based foods is the source to the disease in which they create the medications for, in which the medical world benefits because they're partnered with the technology world that gives them more technology towards finding the disease that the food companies are creating. So all four of them play a hand with each other, and why doctors used to have 7 extra years towards nutrition. That 7 years of studying nutrition has been taken out of their educational practice. They don't have to study natural healing at all.
Amen.
They have to douse you with medications. Their goal is not to heal you. Their goal is to compensate you or get you by until you need to take a steroid now, until you need a higher form of the medication, until you die. It's basically one economic superpower just working hand in hand. And all the old politicians, that all the people who used to run Tyson and all these other food companies, Monsanto, they took them and put them in political offices. So when they try to get shut down or you speak out against it, they fine you. When you speak out against certain things, they could fine. If I was the owner of a food company and I was talking so down on processed foods, they could ban me from selling food tomorrow. This is the power they have. And this is to silence our people. So now let's take my neighborhood. Every food that I go to that store right now to feed myself is garbage. Every fast food restaurant in this area I'm capable of ordering is garbage. My immune system as a younger man might be stronger, but my mother and my grandmother and my family on, that's poison. The young people, when they eating, their teeth, their brain, everything else is deteriorating. And imagine the toll. Then I go to school and I ingest garbage. The food, garbage. The education, garbage. Where am I growing at? The church and the mosque at Beast. You got the mosque on one end. You got the synagogue over there, and you got the church right there. I'm confused as a young person. Why is it 3? Then when I walk in, they say, yeah, come with me, son, but don't walk across that street. Why? I just wanted to learn from each side. Like, well, you can't if you with us, and et cetera. It's the division. Or
yes.
The pastor and the mom never come together to do an event. Or nothing. So it's like it's nowhere left for dead, literally. There's nothing to educate these people, none of my young counterparts. I can't walk to the corner and call them to something. Listen, get off that corner because I don't have nothing to invite them to. So it's like without a bigger talk on this reentry talk and our first steps of action, then I can't call them nowhere. So right now it's about getting all the minds that want to actively make a change in this problem together on this platform. And whatever resources we can pull, whether we got to earn them, whether we got to raise them, et cetera, start bringing them together and come up with a concrete first step for our outreach and making change. And that's hopefully the goal in these reentry talks with Jakim Diaz and Nathaniel Evans.
My brother, if you study John Rockefeller,
Donald Rockefeller.
All right. All right. Back in the day, he's the oil baron. And at the time, what you were speaking about is the doctors were into more what we call holistic cures and medicines and stuff like that. And what John Rockefeller did was with his oil, all right, he created medicines out of that oil and capsules and so on. And capsules so that the medicine can go in, the medicine can go into these capsules. Now, he was the biggest, he was the largest donator to these hospitals. All right, he was donating so much money, you know, to these hospitals. And then he told me, he said, listen, if you use anything else but this, as we know now, processed medicine or processed foods even, I'll stop giving you money.
Wow.
That's where we are now.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was a plan. It's always, you see, you're looking at this, these shows, how America was built and all this other kind of stuff, you know, and this thing came up and it was interesting how ruthless, you know, unforgiving and uncaring these people were.
Yeah,
but at that time, during depression, during, you know, how come you got, you were supplying the world, 70-80% of the world's food, we were called the breadbasket of the world.
Wow.
You know, and then now we're supporting maybe we got 15-30%, and it's coming from every place else, South America, East Africa. Dole Foods is buying up everything, and it chase people off their property if they don't sell, grow for them. Meanwhile, the community used to support the community and buy from the community, and everybody was helping. You know,
mind you, we got the biggest poverty rate and incarceration rate in the world, but we buy all the food to keep starving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Capitalism is really something.
Yeah. Well, thank you for tonight, brother. I appreciate it.
We got Waller.
I'm open. Feedback. We're gonna sit there and take feedback from anybody. We got about 10-15 minutes left. So
anybody want to talk? You here?
You got until 9:30 actually.
Okay. So you want to finish?
Caller. You got the whole 2 hours actually.
Okay.
Caller. 317-603. You're on with Jaquan Diaz and Nathaniel Evans, and we have reentry talk. 317-603, your mic is open.
Thank you so much for opening the mic for me. This is Mary, and I'm just listening in and seeing how I can be of assistance. I like what you are saying and would love to hear a little bit more about the program as it gets kicked off. But if you would, please keep me posted as you get started with information for the reentry program.
Definitely.
Yes, we definitely will. Once we have a platform that I can keep track of all the feedback, like a nice blog, and I'm almost done with building up a website, or we might just create like a social media presence, and we start, you know, I can keep track of all of this feedback, then we should be ready by this Wednesday to have that up. And the reason being is because I'm not going to lean this on my own answers, because I try to move through the spirit, and I believe that the answers lies in us all. It can't be just, I have to be challenged, and if I'm not challenged, I don't feel it's real. Like, it's almost like a contingency plan. I cannot build something that it will be the evil of tomorrow. So it's almost as if our minds have to check one another. They have to challenge one another. If it's things that we need to look more in depth, we need to be open to that. If somebody is not seeing it the right way, then we got to make each other understand it more from both of our individual standpoints and a neutral standpoint in making change. Because If that doesn't happen, then we're running a dictatorship. We're not creating an environment that, right or wrong, the leader is capable of being challenged, or our leaders as a whole is able to be challenged, because if that doesn't happen, then we could just be blind followers, and I definitely don't support that.
Hey, as you speak on the reentry program, I'm interested as to where are you going to, what are you trying to do with them as they reenter into the community? And
yeah.
Is there a certain location that you are looking to assist them in, or is it just in one state at a time, or are you going all over?
Yeah, so basically, this is Nathaniel Evans. We're looking to go all over. We're looking at all the prison structures and systems that they have. We see in a lot of places all over the world. I was in New Jersey last year. They got a lot of prisons out there. They got a lot of our people locked up in New Jersey. You know, they got structures like Rikers Island and other states all over the world. So they use Rikers Island as a living model, and that living model is all over the world. And it's the reason why they actually went to all these political upheavals to stop Rikers Island from closing. Because once Rikers Island would have closed here, we'd have been able to attack Rikers Island on every other continent that they had Rikers Island at. So this is actually looking at not only just the outside perspective, but looking also inside of the Department of Corrections and what's coming out of the Department of Corrections. And if our brothers and sisters come out of the Department of Corrections not complete, we need to ask why they're not complete when they come out of the Department of Corrections. We need to actually, because we're investing in these systems. So anytime somebody takes an investment, if you take $100 and invest in something, or $10,000 and invest in something, you're going to watch it, right? You're going to watch your investment. So we invest in these systems in our communities, we need to watch our investment. We need to know where our money's going at and why our money's going those directions. So
right.
The issue talk is also to bring awareness to these things. So, and professionals that's on the platform, these on the platform, we want to interview with y'all. We want to do podcasts. You know, we want to bring about awareness from different directives, and we want to make sure that we attack these different issues together, collectively, not one at a time. Like, I've been on many campaigns with different leaders, and I say, okay, we're fighting homelessness, right, God? Yeah, we fight homelessness. Okay. So let's put our money together, all 20 of us, and go buy this building right here so we can basically address homelessness, and we don't have to worry about it. We can actually put 50 people in this building, and we can continue from there. They would say, now we got our own things we're working on. So what is the point of us actually out here advocating for homelessness if we're not going to come together and fight against homelessness directly?
Right. And I'm for the all right. I feel like me and Nathaniel are combining our perspectives to create something amazing. Because, all right, when it comes to reentry talk in New York City, and we got this Rikers Island monster sitting there. All right, I told Governor Cuomo, and I feel like a lot of these talks went towards what they're talking about now, the fact that they're creating borough-based jails. What I was talking about were borough-based facilities, or they were called rehabilitation centers, when I feel like I was the first one to coin it, or I was among this group to coin it. And I made sure to emphasize rehabilitation centers, meaning to rebuild ourselves as a whole is going to take years. It's going to take years of educating and eating better and doing better. It's going to take time. Rikers Island, even though everybody talks about closing Rikers Island, for me, I don't feel that's a reality. Like, in a sense where you destroy it as a whole or you don't replace it with something else. Now, corrections as a whole is broken. They don't correct nothing at all. Like, the jail is not what changes you at all. It's about your choice, your individual choice when you're in that environment. Now, what I'm talking about is fostering that individual choice in the sense where if jails were designed as rehabilitation centers where the community had an active part in what was going on in the prison, it would change. For instance, agriculture, farming, all of that taking place on Rikers Island. A family member being able to list who's their family member, being able to go in there, sit down with her son, study with her son, see him go to class, see him graduate, all of these programs going on in the prison and making a holistic environment instead of a segregated environment. They promote gang violence, officers smuggling weapons, officers in gangs themselves. The entire correctional system is corrupt, and then the environment is corrupt. You can't change or better yourself in the environment. So part of why we're combining like an entrepreneur edge. Part of my background is I come from Food Trucks from Social Justice, and it was founded by Jordan Lexton. So I created a food truck too, and it was called Jakim Panadas. I still own the company. But the employees that I employed actually took what I built because I didn't insure everything properly, just learning, and I pitched in front of an angel investor that gave me $100,000. And just as quick as I was building something, it's just as quick as I lost it. I was able to secure some land at some point where I bought some land and put one food truck on it, and then I bought a food cart that I partnered with this is all in Florida, that I partnered with a laundromat across the street. And what I was hoping to build was a food truck that sourced all its food from farms and organically. And they used the food platform to preach this message. Now, what this would look like in our neighborhoods, they have a partnership with the farms. We're doing food pantries, feeding people and advertising the point of eating healthier. And then I wanted to start delving into the city and getting into the idea of working with local farms and building greenhouses throughout the city. So on top of all these rooftops and all these projects we got going on over here, if there was greenhouses on top of them where we farmed all year round and you gave work to the people who work those farms to come down to the building rooftops to train the individuals in the building. So if you live in that building, you open to employment. You work for that farm. You go up there, you till the farm. At a certain point, they weigh all the food that is produced. They give a certain amount to the neighborhood. People can purchase this food as well, et cetera. It gives initiative to the neighborhood. The people in the building have initiative. Replace the night shift people and have people who work in the building, clean in the buildings, work in the rooftops, work in the neighborhood. You give employment back to the neighborhood, and you create incentives behind it. The food truck concept goes a lot more in depth, and I hope to patent the designs that I created for an exclusive food truck that don't exist. And we want to take other food companies and in exchange for a share of their company, or we can come on board as just angel investors, but the food will have to change. Meaning if you were sourcing your food from a processed farm, we would like you to source with us. If you're using a certain truck design, we would like you to use our truck design because we're a platform that also spreads a message. They could come on board with a message, and we'll use the trucks along with our social media presence, along with our streaming platforms, whether it could be gaming or entertainment from some of the youth. They might be doing dancing or singing, et cetera. We'll use those platforms for outreach to spread the message. We'll use the truck to spread the message. Then we'll build restaurants where the people who are ex-incarcerated, they can work in these restaurants. Like Nathaniel said, we'll build like halfway homes or buildings where they'll be housed, and they'll work the business attached to it. So every one of these halfway homes will have restaurants attached to them, maybe a laundromat, maybe a beauty salon, et cetera, and the women or men will work there. They'll come home to employment, and they'll do outreach in the neighborhood. And reentry talk is not just for people that have been previously incarcerated. It's also those who are directly impacted by this problem, which is the neighborhood as a whole. So this is going to be an active effort. We want to change, and we have to use Rikers Island to our advantage in the sense where the concept of destroying it don't work. Don't even say that. Like, closing Rikers is not a reality. That's how they make more money, because there's a group of people who are shareholders and are not trying to let that thing close. So when you create one faction that says close it, and they create a faction that says no, this will be a, we'll be stuck in this paradox forever. So what we want to do is to we want to change the environment of Rikers by removing the staff. The staff is corrupt. Remove that staff and putting staff in there that have good intention in rehabilitating the people who get incarcerated in there. Rehabilitate the environment and send people home rehabilitated to make a better asset to the environment, and let the community and the jail or the rehabilitation center act holistically as one, meaning the community could go in there, ask the guards, could I talk with somebody? They can come in, they can talk with people, they can lend advice. More people who are into, you know, counseling, religious studies, they should have more permission to go in there and work with people, and a huge active effort into changing the environment at the bottom. Because if anybody who's been incarcerated, I don't know if y'all know, when you're at the bottom, you're more susceptible to listening to something that's worth listening to or helping you. Some might be stubborn, but with more hands on deck, you're going to see, like, dang, these people are here every day. What's going on? Maybe I will stop and hear what they got to say. And if you'll inspire the leaders of the prison to change the environment. They have no incentive. You put their lights out. All they think about is misery and pain and want to destroy more. You cannot change them like that. The environment won't change like that. And we cannot make the shareholders agree to close it. All they'll do is move their funds somewhere else and build another superpower. Forget calling it Rikers Island. They'll build a bigger monster. So if we don't get in there and make sure we control the direction that Rikers is going and manipulate the environment to a more holistic one, it's not going nowhere. I don't know. Somebody could prove me wrong, but I don't see them stopping it like that. And if we keep talking about destroying it as a whole, they're going to keep that same monster around for 20, 30 years more. I don't know. That's just how I feel about that topic.
And I just wanted to get
the sister's last name, first and last name, and then put her on the list,
so
and then y'all can contact her back.
Do you want to meet with her?
With Mary.
Mary Cox.
Mary?
Mary Cox.
What's your last name?
C-O-X.
How do you spell that?
C-O-X. Charlie Oscar's X-ray.
Cox. Okay. Mary Cox.
C-O-X-C-X.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll hand that over to Jaquan and Nathaniel, and they can further contact you via your phone number as well.
Thank you.
I greatly appreciate it.
Okay. And I hope that gave you a briefing on exactly some of our aims and stuff, and I believe Nathaniel is about to further elaborate.
Well, I just wanted to say real quick that I was a part of these Rikers Island campaigns, but what stood out to me the most is when I did a campaign in front of Rikers Island. Okay, so they had put us in attire that our ancestors used to wear when they first created Rikers Island, the number system that they had, the chains on the legs, the chains on the hands. And I was actually standing on one of these blocks. You know, these blocks, you put us on these different auction blocks. So they used those blocks also when we was going into incarceration. And as I was standing there, you know, I'm on this block. I'm just like one of my ancestors, you know. And it's a photographer, a white man, was looking at me. And he stopped. You know, he stopped taking pictures and stared at me. And when he stared at me, my whole body shook. And my body said, my whole spirit said, if this man could kill you right now, he would kill you. And I just watched him, and my spirit confirmed that it was right. He watched me because he saw that I was right. I was truthful about why I was there. I wasn't there for a paycheck. I wasn't there because I was part of an organization. I was there because they put my brothers and sisters in prisons through traps, through trickery. They got all different types of systems that they got in play that caused my brothers and sisters to step on their landmines and go into these different systems.
And as I was standing there, I said, they don't want this thing to change, you know. And this man, he's not even a part of politics. He's not even a part of the government system. But if he could have took my life because I was standing up for my brothers and sisters, he would have did it. So we need to understand what this really is about. And this is really not a game, and it's not. This is not play. This is real stuff here. This is real spiritual things that we're working with, that we're going through, and that we're getting cursed with, and that we have to lift off our shoulders. I don't believe none of us want to go back to the Most High with a wicked spirit. I don't think none of us want to go back to the Most High that we did things in the land that we wasn't supposed to do because we were trying to get money, but we destroyed other people's lives in the process. So we got to look at Rikers Island bigger than what it is. It's taking souls. It's not just taking people off the streets. It's taking souls. It's taking the leaders that's in our land, the leaders that's supposed to be in our lands that make changes, is taking these leaders out the land, you know, and giving them time and then killing them in the land and then giving them drugs so they come home with mental health diagnosis and things of that nature. That now we have to fight against these things. Used to be our leaders now, but now they got mental health diagnosis, so now we got to put them away.
Right.
So we have to realize why they had this in place.
Right, and that's why I feel like we've been, like when we, with the talks, we've been in part of that environment. When they over-talked about the destruction of Rikers as a whole, instead of focusing on the replacement of the staff or the values or the programs and everything else that is supposed to be going on in the facility, it's almost, it's why we stuck. It's like they're not going to move. Like their shareholders and the people who... That's an extension of slavery. If any, like, right, this is an extension of slavery. Tobacco is an extension of slavery. Tobacco didn't stop selling tobacco. They still make money off tobacco. They still have money from the slave trade, tobacco companies. So it's like all of these people who are shareholders and extensions of slavery, they're not going to give their money up. We need to exploit them. We need to talk more about the systems that will make the system function where it'll produce rehabilitative results. I felt like attacking them in their name. You called the Department of Corrections, and we need to attack them based off the stats of correction so the shareholders could pull out. Like, they keep thinking that they're doing their job because the incarceration rate is high. They give them the stats on the news about how much crime is going on. Don't you know what that does to people who've never been around there? They like, yo, I need to put more money towards locking these guys up. I'm scared. People really live in fear and won't know. Like, this is where they're getting their money to keep fueling Rikers Island and their political aims because of the politicians and because of the people who are blind. It's like we have to change the system as a whole. Like, we have to get the right people in there, and we need to exploit them for their non-corrective abilities. You do not have the ability to re-educate. You do not have the tools to correct behavior, and that's what we need to attack them with, because otherwise they're going to keep getting funding for their environment, and we need to exploit them. If you're the Department of Corrections, why do you correct no behavior? Why is recidivism still so high? Why are people not coming home educated anymore? What is going on? That's what they really think those fundings for school and all of that is still in there. Most of the people that I spoke to don't know people ain't going to school in there no more, that they cut GED in college. You can't even take college no more in there. All the funding that they supposed to be getting, other things they supposed to be getting, they don't actually give them it to them on Rikers Island. So it's not it's a hellhole. It's literally a trap. It's not nothing designed around rehabilitation at all. So it's like if we focus on its destruction, that could take so long and they will never close it and our people are still suffering. How do we get more people in there every day clouding and getting on corrections nerves? Oh, my God, here comes this guy again. Yeah, I have a pass. I'm going to go check the people. Oh, okay, come in the next day. Oh, they come in again. Next day, rally outside, bring more awareness, get their shareholders to pull out, get their shareholders to put money elsewhere. It's like we have to incrementally break it down instead of just hoping that they all going to pull out as a whole. What? Money and greed is all they worship. don't hear your sympathy or the pain of the people dying. You heard what the brother Ron A. Robinson said about how they was making money off the food and the destruction of the people, and they was mining the food and starving people to death. Talking about we gonna hold it, we only gonna, you know, give it out in piecemeal how we see fit. This is what these monsters do. No compassion. Like, it's like a soulless vessel. It's unbelievable. I don't understand it sometimes. It's like bones and skin wrapped together. No soul inside. That's a monster. That's not a human. Like, that's what people need to understand. Being a human is different. You think these thugs in my neighborhood are monsters? They ignorant. They don't know. A monster is the one who knows and strategically destroys. He knows better, and he destroys because he knows he can gain from it. He knows he gets some kind of satisfaction from the impoverishment or the destruction of another people, whether he has to exploit another race or weaker people financially. If he has to do it, he's going to do it. That's a monster. That's not even a – I don't know what to call that. And those are the type of things we're going to be combating and fighting against, and we need a team to understand that. That just like we stand for justice, that person, we are fighting against things that don't, that really strategically want to see us fail. So I have to accept that. And as we put our minds together, Brother Nathaniel, we go into the lion's den, as you've been in there before, we need to get these talks out there, and we need to make people, we need to have these debates, because there are people out there who will really justify Rikers needing to exist. And we're going to say, like, I'm not going to say that, but what are the institutions you can do with that island? It needs to be rebuilt. The water is crazy. The water that they're drinking is crazy. The environment, the soil, the dead bodies buried under it, the sewage that is leaking into the soil. You can walk next to the soil on Rikers and smell the poison in the ground, and they breathe that all day. There's no environmentalists, nobody talking about this. You know why? Because they paid off. A lot of people are paid off. So it's like it's a dead effort if we don't get the right people to attack every component that makes Rikers Island about humanity. And it's about attacking humanity and what takes a human to grow and rehabilitate. And are you providing the environment to do so? Then we might appeal to the people who have the money to make the supreme difference, because we get to call them, like you said. Where's your money going? How is your money being used? How is your tax dollar being spent? And if we can properly create a picture to that with a solution, because that's where it always gets deaded at. They go, okay, I see the problem. Now what? You say, close Rikers. And then they say, and do what with it? That's how I see every discussion ends. They go, we need to close Rikers. Okay, then what? Stuck. It's just stuck. It's just everybody's at a standstill. I don't know. It just needs to close. Okay, and the shareholders with all the money and power who you can't appeal to them through compassion on their heart is like, okay, so where's my money going? Now where's my money going? Oh, but you pulling your money, it's the right thing to do. Yeah, I can't understand what you're saying. He don't understand that. Everybody does not have a moral code or does not have a wholesome heart. Some people are compelled by the dollar, and we might have to only speak to them through that. Giving them the stats, yes, but showing them environmentally how Rikers Island is not helping to build communities. It's not helping to help the earth. It's not doing nothing but destroying. And corrections needs to be put under that scrutiny, that they don't have the tools to rehabilitate nine. Is that people keep using the word correction, incarcerated, jail. Those words is what keeps this alive. You have to put someone in a prison. No, that concept is not human. People don't have to be in prison. You can put somebody in there and help them rehabilitate. If they're not showing the proper steps to rehabilitate, then what they call other steps have to be met to help bring justice about. People are going to be punished for their wrongs. This is going to happen. People are going to be in trouble. There are going to be some form of law enforcement. But how does that look? Do we elect our own elected officials? Do we vote our own police commissioners in place? Do we help in the hiring process of new police officers? Should the police officers be chosen from our neighborhood, for our neighborhood, et cetera? Like, and bring this thing into a straightforward strike and keep fighting at every one of these points until the pillars break. And I believe, God willing, with the higher power's assistance, he could turn anything. He could turn darkness into light. He could turn that same hellhole into a utopia of peace. And that it just might be an infiltration mission. It might be an infiltration mission to help the talk forward to manipulate the creation of something new. Because replacing or destroying Rikers Island, I don't see it happening. But to change it as a whole and to remove the shareholders out of place and the people who have the power out of place by putting them under the eye, the microscope like they need to be, and forcing them to pull out, yeah. But we would need to be able to have a structure in place to replace it. You can't bring down one order without another order to replace it and make it better. So all of these things have to be discussed. It's almost like you're not trying to bring down the government because we're going to work with the government in a lot of ways, but it's almost like it's like bringing down a governmental structure. Rikers is a structure that it needs to be broken down and rebuilt.
Well, brother, I did have something I did want to share with you on this, on what you were saying, because when you really look at it, one of the things that has been mentioned about this, they call it 21st century slavery. And the reason why they call it that, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but this is something outside of Rikers that is also outstanding when you're talking about the prison system, because one of the things that's been happening, and I didn't even know it was happening until I spoke with a person that was doing some time in jail, and they got out, and then they told me about the system and how it was working, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know. I mean, I knew that, you know, there was corruption and everything in the justice system, but I didn't know it was this bad. But basically what was happening is that, especially down south, you know, and you found it up here as well, but down south, what was happening is that if a person was accused of a crime that they were supposed to have committed, they could actually spend 3 to 4 years in jail before they even get a chance to meet up with the judge that's going to find out whether they were guilty or not guilty. And during that time period that they were in jail, they would be making chairs, they would be making tables, they would be going out on the streets and paving the roads and different things, and they would be doing a lot of free services for, you know, the prison system, and they would be making millions of dollars off of our people for doing work for free while they were in jail. So a lot of times, you know, you'll find a lot of the people that were even arrested wasn't even about whether they were guilty or not. It was just about getting them, putting them in prison to be a 20th century slave, and they would have to stay in jail for at least 3 to 4 years. But now, from speaking with a few people about that, they're saying that they're working on that, where you can't hold a person in jail for 3 to 4 years before they see the judge. Like, they can only hold them in jail for like a month or 2 or 3 weeks in order for them to see the judge, but not no 3 or 4 years. So I don't know. Matter of fact, I need to get back in touch with, you know, the brother that I was talking with, because they were talking about actually moving on that to see if they could get the justice system to make an adjustment in that. But there is a lot of corruption in the justice system against our people so that they can create that 21st century slavery. Because they don't want to really say that, oh, yeah, we're starting slavery again. But they're doing it in a slick way so that when they put you in jail and you can't even see a judge for 3 or 4 years, but we're going to have you working for free and you're not getting a dime for the work that you're doing, then we're going to make a lot of money off of you and all the other people that we cram into the jails as well. So these are things that need to be corrected, you know. And sometimes trying to deal with it through the common sense justice system and confronting them from a practical viewpoint can be kind of rough. But the other side of it is what we can look at And unfortunately, we really don't see this from a serious perspective, is how we could come together spiritually and focus on it as well. And the only reason why I can really say that I see that as something that is very powerful, but it's neglected because we don't really know that we have the ability to even use our spiritual power to bring that into play, is because I had a certain situation that came about where actually Jesus came to us, you know, because we were already in a movement that we started called Parents Against Teen Violence. And there was a lot of, you know, gang banging going on in New York, you know, where kids were killing each other left and right and everything. So, you know, a good friend of mine's son got killed, and, you know, because I saw him in jail and then I went to his funeral, the Lord spoke to me and told me, hey, come on, you need to not be sitting on the sideline watching all these kids getting killed. You need to get involved with this and see about putting an end to this. And I said, okay, I'll see what I can do. You know, hopefully I'll be able to get something done because, this doesn't even make no sense because this brother, he's only 18 years old and he should be coming to my funeral, not me going to his at 18. This is crazy. But anyway, what ended up happening was that, you know, in Jesus coming to us, we had a program that was dealing with meditation and affirmations and visualization, right? And what we were doing with that, and what we got a lot of positive feedback from students that came into our program, we were able to get them out of failing in a lot of their classes to actually getting them on the A and B honor roll. And that was a good thing, but we had to do something called reprogramming their mind. And once we reprogrammed their mind, number one, to feel like, what, me get on the A or B honor roll? You got to be kidding, man. I can't, you know, I'll never be on that. Get out of here, man. I don't even want to waste my time trying. And some of them are in that mindset. So being that they're in that mindset and feeling that they would never really be able to accomplish being on the A or B honor roll, they just throw in the towel and say, forget it, you know. But the bottom line is that they can do that, but they just have been brainwashed into thinking, because a lot of them have been placed into special ed education programs that tells them that they're mentally disabled and they're not able to really do things like ever become an A or B honor roll student, and that they're not good at, you know, mentally being able to add up math, or, you know, verbally being able to put things together in the English department, and, you know, all these different things. But the bottom line is the way that the school system, unfortunately, is rigged, just like the injustices that are happening in the prison system, is that they want you to see yourself from a down and out perspective. And once they, you know, can actually accomplish that, then they know that, you know, once you get out there as an adult, you'll never really be successful because you won't see yourself as someone that can accomplish success. But the other side of it is, once you reprogram the minds and have people, you know, visualizing and seeing themselves not as a loser but as a winner, and actually saying affirmations that can empower them to really see themselves as someone that can accomplish great success, that's when you can get good results for them. And that's what happened in the school systems. We were able to do that for quite a few of our people that got involved with us. And I was really glad to see that because, you know, when you're programmed through the system to actually believe that you can never really accomplish any great success because you're mentally disabled, then it puts people in a very negative viewpoint of seeing themselves. And that's when only if you have an opportunity where you have community centers in our community, or when we can come together and put together our own school system where all that corruption is not going to be there, and we can teach our kids that, yes, you are worthy of success, you are worthy of being able to achieve it, and you can accomplish it. So don't look down on yourself and think that you're mentally disabled and can't do it. You definitely can do it, but you have to see yourself as a winner and not a loser. So these are things that are really necessary, that we need to have programs that can re-educate our youth and even our adults so that we can start to see things from another perspective. Because once we keep seeing the brainwashing that's even in our music that's out here today, that's a whole nother story.
Because once we start to see, you know, and hear what's happening in the music, and I know y'all heard of the nigger hate music, you know, I should kill you, I should hate you, I should never trust you, I should never have nothing to do with your ass, you know. All this kind of crazy stuff is out there where we, you know, hear this in our music and total disrespect for our women and all of this stuff. We need to erase that negative music from our community and start to bring back the positive music. And I know you guys have probably heard some of that positive music before.
Yeah.
That song, you know, say it loud. Dun, 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 dun. I'm black and I'm proud. Dun, 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 dun.
I got
Ain't no stopping us now. That's another one.
Right?
And you can make it if you try. All those songs were really powerful because it gave our people hope and the feeling that they could accomplish great and wonderful things. But when you got music constantly telling you that you should be killing each other, you should be hating each other, and all that kind of crazy crap, that's something that really has, just like the positive affirmations we were talking about and how that could help you to reprogram your mind, those songs and constantly hearing a wordage in that that's saying all this negative stuff reprogrammed your mind in the negative. So you can start to hate your brother and sister and even want to kill them. And that's crazy. But that's one of the reasons why the gang wars are up and are really destroying our community.
Right.
Oh,
and I have another call coming in.
And, if you want to take that call, you know, we could have the brother come in or the sister come in and talk right now. 718-440. You could give us some feedback on what's been talked about thus far. Feel free to speak.
Did she get her mic unmuted?
You got to unmute your mic, 718-440. Unmute your mic, 718-440.
Hello, how you doing? Yes. Hello, how are you? You hear me?
Yes.
Hello, am I coming through?
Yes, you're coming through.
Yes, we hear you.
How you doing? How you doing?
How are you?
Fred Braswell, how you doing? God bless you. I was listening to you, and I just chimed in. But, interesting topic. Definitely need to get more positive, and everything over the airways needs to be positive. That's a form of mind control, you know, so so that's very important that we have positive airway transactions in the mind of our people. It's very important.
Right. I wanted to comment behind what Benjamin added and everything about the reprogramming and re-educating, because that was part of the core talks that I wanted to talk about, that just like you can, there's, like he said, there's positive affirmations, things that we hear or tell them to ourselves to give us reasons to live and to strive for, that these people know that. The ones who are trying to destroy us and have studied us know that, and it starts with Willie Lynch's letter. If you understand that he did that, that he, if he can break a man to a point where he could create a concept in a people that they would triple on themselves from generations to come because of how he conditioned them, then if he can do that in the programming, then we need to, then there's counter effects to that programming as well. And if that could happen at that time, then there are people who are manipulating our subconscious minds. Because if you know the transition that music went through, the people who own the record labels and companies, they strategically wanted to push trap music and drill music and death music. They wanted to do that. They wanted to make sure that was the theme and the message, because they knew how liberating and invigorating our culture of music was. So they came in there. They wanted to make sure that that our music went down the wrong route, because it influences more in the negative than the positive. And where is that now? I spoke about it earlier in the show, that how could adults, you're an adult, and y'all really own the record labels or y'all own the studios, and you letting these young kids gather together to talk about hate and keep talking about hate. Like you got flavor, you got people coming on Hot 97 You Funk Master Flex, you can't give this kid no positive feedback. You letting him talk about destruction and killing the next man, even shouting out the next man by name who he wants to kill, and then commending him for his music. Oh, my God, wow, your lyrics is crazy. Why you ain't take the time to educate that kid? Why are none of the rappers and the OGs and the people who, the NBA stars and everybody not reaching out? Yo, listen, can we get some positive music out there? Come on, can we get some soul lifting? Why LeBron James ain't talking about that? Why nobody is, why none of these entertainers talking about that? Like, it's okay. Like, this, like us being able to rap about killing each other is fine. It's not a universal problem at all. Like, and I'm for the reprogramming and re-educating. And it has to happen. It has, it takes discipline and it takes time. And that's what I was hoping about the fact that the incarceration rate is so high and they're not hiring all the right professionals to come out and help in this re-educating and rehabilitation process. And as we talk more about this, hopefully those numbers will add on and hopefully the solution and the picture of it will come more clear. And in time, this thing is going to start coming into fruition. So,
amen. Powerful, powerful. You guys have a powerful program, but when you got such a powerful program and things are really heating up, time is running so quickly. So we got like maybe a minute. You both guys, you can sum up something you like to say. But people, come next Wednesday, 729-347-857 with Reentry Talk with Jaquan Diaz and Nathaniel Evans. It's a hot, hot show. We can see it from tonight, Pack House, brother. So with the minute left, give you and Nathaniel a chance to say a little wrap-up speech.
Now, so this is Nathaniel Evans. I'm going to say it's a pleasure being on this platform, meeting everyone. And I want people to reach out to us. You know, we don't want to just reach out to you. If you have things that you're working on, you want us to help you, you want to connect, you want to reach out to us as well, and we can meet you. You know, we can do the things that we need to do to start bringing a lot of these things forward. We have a lot of work to do, but we can do it. You know, seriously, together we can do it. If we stop the competitions and competitiveness with our nature, we can actually be what we're supposed to be, which is life, and actually start generating more life in the land.
And with that, you can find, you can send me a direct email at Jaquim, J-A-Q-U-I-M, Neo, N-E-O, for the Neo Nation, at gmail.com. And, yeah, we're here steadfast, looking for your feedback, looking to connect with everybody. And have a blessed week, and we hope to see you next Wednesday. Amen.
It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Just don't. It will get better.
It's got to get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better.
Heart.
In your heart.
people.